I'm Mohawk Matt, and this is By Hair, Land, and Sea, where we will bridge the gap and have conversations that need to happen. After spending 13 years, both as an active duty Marine and then a Navy civilian, I am now on a mission to serve our nation by providing a megaphone for the right people at the right time. Join me and my guests as we remove barriers so that you can do what you do best. Be awesome. See you in the trenches. All right, here we go. All right, what's going on?
It's because I see you, man. I'm like, I see you. I know this.
You do.
And I can't take you. I'm like, I appreciate it. I know it. I totally do. But I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, you're so bullshit.
I love that part. And I think I'm going to leave that in because that's part of what we're talking about today. And is that how do we interact in this GovCon government contractor space and working with each other? So what's going on, everyone? I'm super excited to be here for another episode of By Hair, Land, and Sea. And today it's going to be a little bit different than you've seen me and maybe even Stephanie, who's my fantastic guest today. But I've got today Stephanie Alexander. Stephanie, how's it going?
It's good. Great to be here. Thank you, Matt, for having me. I look forward to this engaged discussion.
Yes.
Engaged meaning, ooh, bring it, buddy. Let's go.
Yeah. And it's either going to be super fun for us, and we'll hope it's fun for other people too. We'll see.
Yeah.
But
that's the goal.
Either way, we'll have a great time.
Exactly.
So what we want to go down, and you may recognize Stephanie. She's out there. If you're out in the GovCon world, she's out there doing their amazing things with GovMates and other things. And we're going to get into some of that and the value they provide, because they do provide more value than just cookies, even though their cookies are amazing.
Thanks.
And boxing gloves.
Yes.
But what we want to kind of go down today is we're going to kind of do some role playing, because there's a lot of stigma around the government contractor space and how you're supposed to act and how you're supposed to treat each other. Like if your government, if your industry is like, oh, kind of it feels like some days in like a youth dance, like the boys are on one side of the room, the girls are on the other. And like people are afraid to talk. Some people be bold enough to do it, but then they make fun of them, or finally everyone does it, but they don't know why. And then they still don't know how to actually do anything. And they're too afraid to ask. And what do you agree? Or do you have a different analogy for that?
I'm like, dear God, please don't tell me we're dancing, because I am the world where I think it's this weird dynamic between, oh, industry, oh, so bad, so evil, so capitalistic, right? Government, oh, so bureaucratic, so like on the other side, they're almost like this, I wouldn't say enemy, but just we don't talk openly. And I think that's one thing that you and I both appreciate is direct talk. Yeah. And actualizing no one is perfect. We all say things we regret. We all say stupid things. But just kind of opening up kind of the dialogue of like, maybe some of the things that I will take the hat of the industry, will stereotypically think about government, and what government may stereotypically think about industry. And I think that that's an important dynamic that needs to open more and be less, get outside your head. What the heck is actually, you know, give us some generalities. Tell us what's really being thought. So.
And that's why we're having this conversation. We're going to talk about some of those stigmas and some of those things. And there may be some complaining for a second, representing both parties, but we're also going to attempt to deliver value. I say attempt because you never know what you're going to get with us too.
Can't solve the whole problem, man. I can't solve everything, but no, we'll try.
Exactly. And if that doesn't work, give them a cookie. It solves everything.
It does. Actually, a chocolate, it is scientifically proven by somebody, I'm sure, somewhere. The chocolate chip cookie will improve your day. I'm positive.
Boom. Unless you're allergic to chocolate, that probably wouldn't go so well.
I feel bad for those people, but yeah.
But if you are, you know not to eat it. So it's your fault if you do.
Exactly.
You're your own demise. So I'm going to play the role of kind of the government side, and Stephanie's going to play the role of the industry side, really more focused on the small business side, because, you know, there's larger companies. They're going to do what they're going to do, and they're going to partner in that. Those are going to happen. But we really want to help the small business side and the gov side really understand what are some of the differences that we won't talk about. There's like this unwritten rule, but I'm going to get into that unwritten rule later. First, the first stigma is, as a government employee, don't talk to industry. They're so evil and greedy. All they want is money.
So true. So true. But let me tell you why I want money. I want money to pay my bills. I want money to pay my payroll. I want money because things cost money. And I am actually taking a risk as an entrepreneur. And I am the one, it's my ass on the line, man. It's my name that the bank owns. It's my company. It's my reputation, etc. And I want to be able to hire good people. And I want to create a culture that makes sense. And unfortunately, things cost money. I know we don't like to talk about that, but it's so true. And I'm not going to get into, but I'm totally going to get into the fact that, I mean, right now the job market is stupid, right? We're having to pay stupid money for people. And whether or not the government can appreciate that things just cost more, right? And that's just kind of where we're at in the state of 2022. So yes, I am here to make a profit. I am absolutely a capitalist at heart. I believe in, you know, I provide a service and you pay me for it. I provide a product and you pay me for it. But it's not the only thing that drives us. Yeah, it's a factor for sure. And there's a lot of stupid businesses out there doing things where they don't make money. I don't understand that concept either. It's like, let's just do things and not take into account how much our costs are. That's a ding on industry. But it's not, if you go into business just to make money, you're missing your mission. Right? Like your mission in life can't be to make money. That's what comes if you were doing a good job. That's what comes if you're solving a problem. That's what comes if you're providing a good value add service. But it's not the thing that we start with. And yes, I want to make money. I want to pay my bills. I want to pay my people. But it's not like that.
Wait, you have bills? I thought I only had bills. There's like,
right?
I am all about mission and passion and things. Or so I claim.
Right? But. Mission, mission, mission. Let's make the mission. Let's have the warfighter. Yeah. Well, guess what? I still got to pay my people. I have payroll taxes, man. I got to pay people. They don't work for free, especially right now. I got to provide really good benefits. Like I'm competing. Hey, I got to compete with the other side, right? The commercial side, which none of us know anything about because we're stuck in GovCon and we're, you know, one trick ponies. But like, if I'm competing with the commercial industry, I need at least some ammunition. I gotta get people. And that's becoming harder and harder these days.
Well, and so I'm gonna cap off for a moment because it's such a broken mentality that we have to be one way or the other. And if you like money, means you don't have mission or you don't have passion or you don't.
No, I'm confident, capable, believe in the mission and actually want to pay my bills. Nothing wrong with that. And actually want to make a profit so that I can either reinvest in my company or as the business owner, I can keep the cash. Because guess what? I took the risk. I came up with the people. I came up with the solution. And that is my reward. There is nothing wrong with that. There is nothing inherently wrong to making a profit.
GovCap on. So why is it that so many companies kind of gouge each other in that attempt to, or that's what it seems from my government perspective of like, it's just this fight, but yet do people really care?
Fight for what? Fight for the contract? Absolutely. We're competitive as crap around here, right? So yeah. And I think that this goes to businesses want to win more business, right? They want to continue to grow. Why do they want to grow? Because they want to do cool things. They want to hire the right people. They want to offer better benefits. They want to make more money. Nothing wrong with any of those things. And so it becomes competitive because we, in GovCon, everybody's a frenemy, right? Like we're forced to team with each other, some days when we want to and some days when we don't. We're forced to compete against each other. Like I may love you today, but in 2 hours when I go into that red team, I hate you. Right. Like, and that's just like, it's a weird world, but people kind of personally, I'm kind of like, get over it. Yeah. I mean, some days we compete, but there's work out there. And if you're solving an actual problem and have something of value, then have at it. I'll put my stuff against anybody else's stuff. right? But I don't like being driven to the race to the bottom, Gubbies. I don't like having my prices be totally, you know, like chopped down because all I'm here is, you know, it's impossible to think that you would have to pay your people and have a fringe rate of X amount because God forbid they need health insurance. So yeah, Gubby, this stuff costs money. Yeah. And my rates generally are not trying to gouge you. My rates have a profit margin, absolutely. But like, I'm not like factoring in like four Lamborghinis and a condo on the beach and all this other stuff. If I'm doing that, then industry, you're in the wrong game, A. And B, you should get in trouble and you should lose. And someone should put your name on the front page of the Washington Post in a very bad way. So, I mean, industry, yeah, clean it up. But Grubby, I'm not trying to gouge you. I'm trying to earn a decent living. I'm also trying to beat my competitors because when I beat my competitors, I can build my company. I can hire the people. I can do the things. So yeah, there's a little bit of competitive, but that's on business. All right. So I have a question for you.
You got it.
Why is this slow? Why does it take so freaking long for the government to make a decision or come out with any of it? Like, why is it so slow?
As when I came, when I was trained as a Govvy, I was told that fast makes failure. And I was told that failure is bad. And so every time that I have to go fast, I feel like, oh, we're just going to mess up and end up on the news of the Washington Post in a bad way. And so I focus on the slow means that we get to take more time and be more cautious.
Yeah. Right. Fail sometimes. I mean, not everything's perfect, man. Like, are we going for perfection every freaking time? Never going to get out the gate.
There's got to be bureaucracy. You have to have some kind of level of checks and balances. And seen, I can't even say those words. It's so hard for me to play this role now that I'm on the outside because I just want to see my 8-year-old self and be like, put you in the corner. Come on.
From the industry side, it's so slow. And we know that, but then it gets slower sometimes. And we're like, can we just make decisions? And then if they're wrong, we can fix it, right? Or we can admit that there's sometimes more RFPs that go the wrong way. I get it, right? Nobody's perfect. I don't think anyone in industry is expecting perfection. My God, it's, you know, we get the dynamic. But like, could we speed it up a little bit? Like, do you need more people? Like, do you need less bureaucracy? Like, what do you need? What will fix you?
Proper training and understanding of what we are actually doing in that process. That is what slowed me down a lot before, was that I didn't know and I wasn't empowered to know. And so it had to go to someone else and sit somewhere and have magic done to it to then prepare it for my eyes where then I could like put it out for RFI or RFP and get a request for information for those unknown and partner with industry. But I couldn't know how to do that because that's a special thing. And that is what has slowed me down many times. And so as the person in the Govvy role right in my brain right now, it's that understanding of how to do those processes and leadership empower me to learn. I was told so many times, like, no, that's not what you do. That's the contracts team. You don't need to worry about that. But what if worrying about that makes me a little bit faster? What if understanding the very basics of contract side of things makes me be able to go to you, contract officer, with the right question instead of all the questions? Then in turn, I can maybe go a little faster, maybe understand a little bit more, maybe feel empowered by not being so stifled. This is all you do. Stay in your box. I am told to stay in my box. I've had to stay in my box for many years on the government side. And it was even the sense of like, don't go faster. It's dangerous. It's scary. And I'm not fully sure why it's so scary, because it's not like we're going to lose our jobs. We're the hardest people to fire on the planet.
Right. That's that's actually what it, so yes, that's what we think too. Just so you know. But like, so can we explore that for a second? I feel like you're always in training. I swear to God, the government level trains the crap out of everybody. Everybody's in training all the time. Like, and you go into like a training box and I don't know, but apparently you don't answer emails and you don't answer phone calls and you go into the training world for 2 weeks, a month. So I feel like you're always training. Are you being trained on the right things? What's going on over there?
I would say yes and no. No, in the sense that, so yes, we are. There are certain leaders and certain people because the government is a machine, but there's also people. And there are certain people that empower people to take the right training that allows them to do work. And there are, unfortunately, just like you have your bad eggs in industry that end up on the Washington Post, we have the same, that they only take training because they actually don't know what their job is. And so they just kind of hide in the training cycles and they hide in more degrees and they hide in more certs. And so the same way that you don't want me to judge you, remember there is a lot of government people that are kind of just stuck. We don't know what we can get out of. And the only trainings that we're being allowed to ask for are the mandatory 1 week, 2 weeks, the things that have nothing to do with my job. I don't want to, and as somebody that is always touted mission driven, I don't want to sit in training. I'd rather just do my job. But to stay because I'm a certain number, like I will go down this path. When I personally, before I left the government sector, was what's called the 2210. That is an IT code. And that is, it came out a few years ago that is required to have security plus. I don't do anything, nor have I ever been cyber related in my 36 years of life. But I was told that I would lose my job if I did not take this training. Literally, I was told I will be moved, or I will lose my opportunity to work. I laughed. I was like, can't fire me.
If this GovCon thing doesn't work out, you could always go back to that.
So we've always joked about that, of even if it does work out, if we can just get a big enough truck that like we can live in and then tow shit and then people just pay us to drive around the country, I'm like, that's great.
Let's fix the supply chain problem right here.
Yeah.
So my fallback position when I first started my company and continues to be, although it's totally unrealistic now, is that if this doesn't work out, I could always go back to waitressing. Now I would be exhausted in about 10 minutes and probably couldn't do it. But when I first started, I was like, you know what? I can always fall back on waitressing. You know, I put myself through college, blah, blah, blah. I can do it.
So it's the training piece. You say that we're always in training, but we're in training that I don't actually always want to take. I have to take these mandatory trainings and all these things that are required to keep my job, but I don't actually get to do anything that makes me better at my job. It feels like I only have to. So I want to be available and not be in training all the time, but I have to stay regulated or check the box to make sure that I'm certified or whatever. And so that's where we're very slow on the training side because I'm kind of stuck doing these mandatory trainings that I don't even want to do either. And there's things that have to be done for any HR organization, but I feel like we have a better way to do them. But I also think that we're also slow because I have so many policies.
Yeah.
Because I have to follow this policy that Carl wrote, that Jan wrote, that Mike wrote, that Stephanie wrote. And it's from 1966, but nobody, every time I bring it up and I'm like, hey, do we have to follow this? I get yelled at, or I'm afraid of losing my job. Again, irony to rock the boat. But so that's kind of the why I have been slow in the past is, I'm always stuck doing things. I don't fully know what I could do to help your job easier, help the contracting jobs be easier and working with industry, because I'm only allowed to do so much, or I'm only allowed to learn this because I have a mohawk, so I can only hang out with people with mohawk. And if you have shaved heads, you can only hang out with shaved heads. If you have long hair, you can only hang out with long hair. And that's that box that I can get put in, and the policy side. And that's so I, and I honestly, one last thing of my slowness and defense is like, I don't know. I don't know that I'm slow. I'm being told that you're evil. And so if I'm slower, maybe it makes you less evil.
I promise you, it does not make me less evil. It makes me more cranky. But remember that I put out, especially if I responded to an RFP, I have put out contingent offers to people. I have people's livelihoods potentially on the line. If I'm in a recompete situation, I have an entire team that is supporting you, that is wondering if we're going to win the recompete and if they're going to have the same job, more importantly, the same benefits, the same doctor, the same 401k plan, the same PTO. I'm taking the kids to Disney World this summer and I don't know where I'm going to work. And I don't know if I'm going to have enough PTO. This very much influences it impacts my employees. As the employer, I want my people feeling good. I want them actually thinking and focused on serving you, government. I don't want them worried about how much PTO time they have and if they've got to change badges again, because I may or may not have won the recompete. Do you know what I mean? So, like, remember that this impacts people's lives. And that's the part that I don't think it's really understood sometimes. So, yeah, like, I need you to make a decision on multiple levels, yes, for revenue, but also for keeping my team intact. So just the other side, if you will. So how do we solve this, Matt?
Okay.
Where are we here? Because I can all day long, all right? Like, I got plenty more. I got so many more things. Like I said, I have so many more things to accuse you of.
And I got my list right here.
Actually
half of my list in another moving box. It's not fair. I have to keep it in multiple boxes.
Exactly.
So that's
true, Gubby, because it's probably in paper form in a box and not in the freaking cloud like it should be. But go ahead.
Not true. It's in triplicates. Come on. It's I just set up my new fax machine. It's freaking great. I just got a new line for it. Mm-hmm.
Perfect. What does the government require to have a fax machine number? Like, do you know
that's another episode. That's going.
Who's faxing? Who's faxing you? Why? Okay. Anyway, but I digress.
Teaser for the next part of this.
What about fax machine?
It's digital versus analog. So yeah, and I think that's the goal of this is we've kind of gone over a couple of the stigmas, but how can we make those better? And how can we, because to my point, I was talking about the training side, how do we train each other just through conversations and the right conversations of how this works? And so I want to start with your side of, I think it's important government people out there and govies, you need to understand now that I understand this better on the industry side, that it's not all about money. They have to care about money because they have to care about money because there isn't a line item. They can just request more funds or they can't just change chargeable objects or just say, hey, we're out of money. Whoops. But you still have a job. As a govy, yeah. I will still have a job if I run out of money. Whereas industry, they don't. They don't have jobs if they run out of money. And just like Stephanie placated to, they have to plan for lives and careers and people's things. They can't just stay there just waiting like, oh, maybe it'll come. Maybe it won't. So for anyone that says that the industry is just greedy is ignorant. You need to better understand why they do what they do and what they're doing it for. Because every industry person and contractor that's worth a damn has mission-driven values as well. You just may not see them because they have to play the other side too in order to keep their business or partners or whatever happy, afloat, et cetera. But don't think the industry does not believe in the mission because they do. Otherwise, they would go make more stable somewhere else where they don't have to deal with contracts and our slowness and everything else.
Well, we would definitely be geared towards the other side if we weren't mission driven. And what I mean by that is the commercial market is a little, I won't say easier to navigate. It's a different beast, but it definitely moves at a different pace for sure. Go ahead.
Can I add one more thing?
Or
you gubbies understand who's going to take the mic. We can go all day long. For you gubbies, you got to understand, I better understand this now. And people like Stephanie and other contractors, you also have to understand what you're asking for costs money. is their time. If you're just trying to get the lowest bidder, then one, you're doing it in a taxpayer's poor bidding. You're a horrible public servant, because it's quality. In this example, it's quality over just cheap. And you got to understand, for government or industry teams, they have to pay. It takes time. And to follow our requirements, it takes them more time, because they have to do our 77-page document. And that's actually a short one, but I'll turn it over to Stephanie.
So I think that's a good point is, you know, the regulations you put on me, you want me to follow them. And I have chosen to be in this industry and understand the game. I understand that I have to follow those regulations, or at least the contractors that, like you said, do give a damn. And we're talking really about the people who have the, you know, who are really trying to genuinely do a good job, right? Like, there are always bad actors on all sides in all places. So distilling those, that does cost money and it does cost crime. And if you do put all, you know, if you're flowing in all the farce, all the things, then yeah, it does cost. But on behalf of industry, I think that we should take a step back and recognize that maybe training is really an issue, right? Like, maybe you're not just slow just to be slow. Maybe you don't have the bandwidth. Maybe you are understaffed, and maybe you haven't been given the tools to actually do your job or to actually complete it, right? Like, maybe you only have one aspect of it and it's not the full picture. We're so used to having to move quickly. I'm sure maybe at large businesses this also happens, but in small businesses, we do see the full picture because we have to. We're not siloed into just one segment of the RFE or one segment of this. Like, we have to take into account the full picture. That's our jobs, right? Like, we wouldn't be doing a good job if we didn't take the full picture into consideration. But one of the things for me is maybe we don't recognize that maybe that is an issue for you. And the idea of having to go to a different department, or it's not in your job description, so therefore you're not allowed to do it. I think another thing that industry should realize is that, yes, we all make fun of how much freaking training you are in, but perhaps maybe you don't want to be there either. And I mean, we've all sat through some of the training courses that we've all had mandated, and we feel you. We feel you. We're sorry. Maybe we should be a little nicer and a little more accommodating for the training. But for leadership in government, I guess my big ploy would be, like, empower your people. Empower them. Give them the right training. Let them make more decisions. I know we're all risk adverse, and I know we've got to overly document to kingdom come, but, like, we need to be better. And we need to be on the same page. And sometimes that means asking questions. So listen to contractors. Like, generally, we're not trying to just, you know, BS you. Like, when you put in regulations, it costs more. When you do this, it costs more. We're not just fluffing up cost volumes in our responses. Our costs are heavily documented in this thing. I mean, like, we have to document to kingdom come in our proposals. Like, we didn't make it up. I didn't make up my healthcare costs, you know? So consider that. So where do we go from here, Matt?
We go from, I think we're going to have some great conversations. This is going to be a continued series. And myself and Stephanie want to hear from you all. So we want to know, what are the stigmas that you're facing, and what are the things that you want answers to? Because, and oh, by the way, it just happens to be that this is going to both of us do. Not the intention, but there are a lot of people like us that can do this. I know I will speak on behalf of GovMates, so she's not just commercialing herself. I do want to pull that piece a little bit before we go. Is there are a lot of companies like GovMates out there that can help you understand both sides of this and kind of coach you down the how to work with contractors, how to work with the government. And so as you're frustrated, don't just be frustrated. Find solutions, find people out there, whether it's in the government and people that have been through it before and are trying to make your day easier and better. And find people on the industry side that are empathetic and they understand why you have to do things, but they also may have a different way and they may know. And pretty much most of the time, anyone that's successful on the contractor side is not crappy at what they do.
No. We do it because we want to. We do it because we are passionate about it. We're business owners, and we're trying to get through the day just like everybody else. We're trying to solve problems just like everybody else. And we actually do have good intentions. And so I think that's the biggest takeaway from this episode, is just kind of like, hey, open your eyes to the other side and have a different perspective. Put yourself maybe in those shoes. And there's a lot more clarification that needs to probably come out and have honest dialogue. So I think for both of us, we're both happy to engage and happy to answer off the record as required any questions in terms of like, hey, what does industry mean when they say this? Or what does government mean when they say this? I just welcome the discussion. And I think it should be, open. I think we should be candid about things. What do we have to lose? We're all trying to meet the same missions ultimately. So
you heard it perfectly said there. Be empathetic to the other side. Understand that whoever you're dealing with in any situation, but specifically this situation, they want to do good too. They're not trying to be greedy, and they're not trying to just be slow. They are trying to do what they're best known how to do the way they do it. So just as you go through whatever you're going through, be empathetic. And like Stephanie said, talk. Just ask a question. And if you don't know how or who to ask, reach out to us. We're going to keep doing things like this to hopefully bring value, because this is definitely, I talked for a while about like what we should talk about. And we didn't want it to be just the same old, who are you? What do you do? Blah, blah, blah. Because we all have to do that. That's part of life. But we want to make some kind of series that brings value that we can all learn. And hopefully in 5 to 10 years, we don't have those stigmas anymore. And maybe sooner than that, because we're talking about it. And we're talking and creating paths to value instead of just bitching.
Whining.
Yes.
I want plenty of whining, but that's not actually helping anybody. So
that's a different kind of whine.
Exactly.
So Stephanie, really, thanks.
So much.
Yeah.
Thank you. It was a blast. And if you guys don't know, we will do an episode that really goes into more of the GovMates, and we'll get some of the more of the GovMates team on here, just see if you're not aware. But Stephanie, what's the best way for people to reach out to you and your team?
LinkedIn, probably just like everybody else. I think we're pretty active on LinkedIn, and I love to see people's profiles and kind of like where they're coming from and their perspective. So yes, please, please, please. LinkedIn.
Yeah. And you got one thing. You guys just went back in person for an event. That was amazing.
Yeah. Thank you. So we are back at it. That is for sure. So we'll be on the road, a couple more conferences, a couple more events before everybody goes heads down for the summer and hopefully is taking a long, much deserved vacation. Or more realistically, here's the other thing, government. You know what we spend our summers doing in fourth quarter for you? Proposals. So we're either trying to go to the beach or we're doing 14 proposals because you let everything in the fourth quarter. So if we're not answering the phone, it's because industry is doing, they have like endless proposals to respond to.
Because if I don't spend my money, then it's gone.
Exactly. We know. Thanks again, Matt.
You're welcome. Stephanie, don't hang up. Everyone else, thank you for joining. Hopefully you gained some value. If you did or didn't, please let us know, because I want to make this so that you do. Subscribe, like, share, etc. Follow Stephanie, connect with their team at GovMates, and have a great day.